The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Those who suffer from OCD, obsessive-compulsive disorder, and anxiety disorder can find that functioning in life normally is very difficult. Does this disorder make it harder or maybe even impossible for a person to believe in Jesus? Can an OCD person ever have assurance of salvation? We invite you to listen today. This is Grace in Focus, and we're glad that you're here. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We come to you from North Texas, and our website is faithalone.org. There you can find information about our conference ministry, National Conference coming up next May, our bookstore, and our online seminary. That's at faithalone.org. We would also love for you to view our short videos, releasing 2 to 3 times a week, on our channel, YouTube, Grace Evangelical Society. Now let's get to our discussion of the day with Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
All right, we have a question here from John today.
Okay.
He's writing about your YouTube video on OCD and believing in Jesus. So he writes, "Hi Bob, I have a daughter with OCD and I was intrigued by your recent video dealing with it. I'm not sure you answered the inquirer's basic question, at least from what I heard. You told him to simply believe, but he did not seem to know exactly what belief or trust was, or exactly what belief is in, or how to measure it. He may be able to believe in a specific promise or proposition, but just believing in Christ is not so defined. Even if it was, anyone with OCD might wonder if it applies to them. Further, if assurance itself is a measuring stick, as often implied, then anyone with OCD will surely come up short. I see this reasoning in my own daughter and others. I have never seen it clearly answered, although I have been around you guys for years."
Yeah, well, John, I appreciate the question. I'm not OCD, although I've often joked that I'm kind of somewhere in that spectrum. I'm definitely a type A, obsessive-compulsive kind of person. I don't think I've gone over to the D side yet. Hopefully I won't. But I get lots of emails and things from people who suffer from OCD. What I tell them is what he said, simply believe. Now, John talks about a lot of people don't know what believe or trust is. I think they do, but the problem is they don't know what biblical belief or trust is. Well, I don't think, John, you should be bringing up trust, because the word trust is not found in John 3:16 or anywhere in John's gospel. The Lord Jesus didn't say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever trusts in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." It's whoever believes, and it's 100 times in the majority text in John's gospel, it's believe, never trust. So I wouldn't put trust, because although trust can be a synonym for faith, it often implies some sort of commitment, some sort of a decision, and that's not what belief is. So I think people with OCD have no problem understanding what belief is. Let me give you an example. Let's say John asked his daughter, "Do you believe that Donald Trump is the president-elect?" Would she go into the tank trying to figure out what he was asking?
Yeah, I don't think she would overanalyze. What do you mean by believe there?
She wouldn't, right?
Right.
In fact, John did go on to say, if the belief is in a proposition, then OCD people have no problem, right?
Right.
Read that part. Didn't he say something about if it's a proposition, they get it?
Yeah, he may be able to believe in a specific promise or proposition, but just believing in Christ is not so defined.
And he says, but believing in Christ is not so defined. Yeah. Yes, it is. Read Gordon Clark's book, Faith and Saving Faith. Gordon Clark, in that book, takes opposition to Burkhoff's suggestion that there's 3 elements of saving faith. In Latin, it's notitia, assensus, and fiducia, which is normally explained as understanding, acceptance, and trust. And Gordon Clark says the trust element is bogus because that is a synonym for faith. He said, fiducia, like you're a finance attorney, businesses have a fiduciary responsibility, right?
Investment companies, banks with your deposits.
Yeah. Okay, and what does a fiduciary responsibility mean?
Well, you're entrusted with these funds and you have to manage them a certain way to a certain standard, in a sense that you would treat those as like you're managing your own funds.
And so what Clark said is fiducia is essentially a synonym for belief. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're using trust in the sense of believing. And he didn't use this example, but he used one like it. Let's say I was trying to describe a car. And I said a car is made up of glass, metal, and automobile. Mm-hmm. You would go, wait a minute, automobile is car.
Right.
So you can't be one of the elements, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So you can't say faith is made up of understanding, acceptance, and faith.
Yeah.
Because faith is faith.
Yeah.
What Clark argues is once you understand the proposition and you agree with it, you assent to it, at that point you believe it. So, for example, do I believe Donald Trump is president-elect? I don't have to trust that. All I do is understand it and accept it. I don't have to now believe it. Because once I understand it and accept it, I believe it.
Yeah. And or accepting something as true is believing.
Is believing.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
And that's why John says, and I like when you reread it, he said, belief in a promise or proposition, yes, that's something an OCD person can get. Well, guess what? In the New Testament, this is called the promise of life, 2 Timothy 1:1. It's also called the word of this life in Acts chapter 5, and it's repeated elsewhere. But the idea is when we believe in Jesus, we're believing him for something he promises, which is everlasting life, or never hungering, never thirsting, never dying, never perishing. We're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for something specific, everlasting life. And it is a proposition.
So believing in Christ isn't just something vague. There is a specific proposition connected with believing in Christ.
Yeah, and I think that John did go on to say that believing in Christ is somewhat nebulous.
Yeah, John writes that he may be able to believe in a specific promise or proposition, but just, quote, believing in Christ, end quote, is not so defined.
Yeah, I've heard this lately from a number of people. In John's gospel, you know, Jesus repeatedly calls for faith in himself. John 3:16, God sent his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 6:47, he who believes in me has everlasting life. And I've been reading people who say, well, that's nebulous, believing in him. Or I've been reading some people from the flexible free grace side that say we don't need to believe in Jesus for anything. We don't believe in him for everlasting life or for a secure salvation. We just believe in him. But then they're kind of vague as to what that means. Yeah. To believe in him or to believe in me, as Jesus says in John's gospel, is explained in John 11:25-27. Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. That's the promise of glorification into the kingdom of God. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That's the promise of everlasting life that can't be lost. And then he says to Martha, do you believe this? And she says, yes, Lord. And then instead of repeating what she said why she knows it's true. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. So, in the Johannine sense, to believe Jesus is the Christ is to believe that he's the guarantor of eternal security. That's a proposition.
Yeah.
And Gordon Clark says saving faith is propositional. You're believing a proposition. Now, unfortunately, in his book, Faith and Saving Faith, he never lays out what the saving proposition is. But the saving proposition is simply that the Lord Jesus guarantees everlasting life to all who believe in him. That's not complicated for John's daughter. That's a simple proposition. And when he says about assurance as a measuring stick, the OCD people are going to come up short. They will if they think assurance is something different than belief.
Mm-hmm.
In my view, assurance is another name for belief. Are you assured that Donald Trump is president-elect? Yes, I believe that. Are you assured electricity really exists? Yes, I believe that. Assurance of everlasting life is the same as saying, I believe I have everlasting life.
Yeah, because the promise of Jesus gives you assurance if you believe that. Is it true that whoever believes in Jesus has everlasting life? If you say that's true, then you know you have everlasting life because that's what you're believing in Jesus for.
Right. Zane Hodges used to say, it's impossible to believe that Jesus gives everlasting life to everyone who believes in him and yet not believe that's true of you. Once you believe that,
yeah,
you know you're a believer.
Yeah.
And as a believer, you know you're secure.
Yeah. And if you don't know you're secure, it means you're not believing what Jesus has just said in like John 11, 25 to 27.
Right. John, I would suggest talk to your daughter, ask her if there's anything in the universe that she's convinced is true. And I think you're going to find out that she's going to be able to name thousands of things she's convinced are true. And then ask her, does Jesus guarantee everlasting life to the believer? And if her answer is yes, then she gets it. It's not a matter of he guarantees eternal life to the worker. You don't look at your works and say, okay, now I know I've got eternal life. No, you just ask yourself, is this statement in John 3:16 true?
Yeah.
If it is, you're a believer.
And if she's unsure, what would you suggest that she do?
I would suggest pray about it and read the Gospel of John.
Ask God to open your eyes. Help me to convince me that this is true.
Yeah, in fact, you know, John started out with simply believe that I told the other person simply believe.
Yeah.
I have a book here by a famous Baptist pastor in Little Rock, and he titled it Only Believe. And he talked about how the Arkansas Baptist at the time he was right. He was the pastor of Bill Clinton when Bill Clinton was the Attorney General of Arkansas in 1976. W.O. Vaught is his name, and Pastor Vaught said that the Arkansas Baptists would say you need to believe and repent.
Mm.
And he said, but if you add in repent, you've just confused things because the only condition is believing.
Yeah. I'm sympathetic to a lot of these OCD people because I think they've been hearing a lot of voices that confuse them on what believe really means. It's just being convinced whether something is true. And so don't listen to these folks that are telling you it's surrender, it's obedience, it's repentance. I feel bad that they're people being confused. It's really simple. It's just simply believing, accepting what Jesus said is true on his promise of everlasting life.
And just work it down to a promise, a proposition, which is what John was talking about. Well, really good question, John. I really like it. And let's all
keep grace in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, this is interesting, Can Cowards Go to Heaven? We'd love for you to join us. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.